KSPT 1400, KBFI 1450, North Idaho's radio.
All right. Hi again, everybody, and welcome back aboard our local hour. Here on my favorite two AM radio stations in the entire nation. Of course, 1450 AM KBFI in beautiful Bonner's Ferry, 1400 AM KSBT in somewhat soggy Sandpoint. Boy, howdy, is it soggy today and gray. And we're stuck in this late January gray pattern that so often happens in North Idaho. But don't forget about February, folks. Historically, our snowiest month. So winter is definitely not over. In fact, we're just in the jaws of winter right now. It's just taking a little break so that things get mushy and slushy. Anyway, I'm Bob Witte with you here. It is North Idaho Thursday. We've got a good show for you today. First up, we'll be chatting with Carissa Jones, who is with Waste Management and is the Recycling Education Manager for the entire Pacific Northwest. As some of you may have experienced recently, Waste Management has had a few difficulties dealing with these rounds of winter we've had in the last few weeks. And she'll explain what steps are being taken and so on to deal with wintry conditions and what we can expect from here on out. So, interesting segment. And in our second segment, we'll meet Jimmy Matlows. Jimmy is a filmmaker with the Idaho Film Company, and he has made a feature film called Fear that takes place right here in the Pacific Northwest during a pandemic. And interestingly enough, as we'll learn in this segment, it was written in 2019, the year before we actually have a pandemic, and here it was like predicting this. So very interesting film. Can't wait to see it. It's playing on Saturday, February the 5th at the Panada in Sandpoint if you want to see it. And all the proceeds from that evening, that first screening, will be donated to the Panada as a fundraiser. So really looking forward to seeing that and talking to Jimmy here on the show. I have a feeling it's not going to be the last time that he'll be on this show. So, interesting guy. And in our final segment today, we'll be chatting with Wes Chapman, who, of course, is from Chapman Springs Ranch in Clark Fork. As some of you who may have joined us last week will recall, he was scheduled to be on last week's show, but he got delayed when a truck jackknifed in front of him on River Road coming out of the ranch last week. So he got here with 1 minute to go before we went off the air. So we're going to try it again this week. We'll have they have a big ski joring event coming up on Saturday, January 29th at Chapman Springs Ranch, and we'll learn all about that a little later on today. If you want to learn what's going on in and around the community this weekend, well, tomorrow evening is live music at the Ponderay Winery on 3rd and Cedar. They have Kosh, K-O-S-H, from 5 until 8. You can enjoy contemporary and classic music from across generations. Kosh is an acoustic vocalist soloist with an enchanting style. How do I know that? Because it says so right here. It's what it says. Enchanting. Go to powine.com. Sandpoint Parks and Rec Department and Schweitzer's Twilight Ski Program picks up again this weekend, Friday and Saturday nights. And speaking of Sandpoint Parks, congratulations to Kim Woodruff, who has been with the Parks Department, or the Rec Department, and then years later, Rec and Parks Department for the city of Sandpoint for 34, 36 years? Well, he's retired. Congratulations. I've known Kim for a long, long time and have always enjoyed his friendship and working with him. We haven't always agreed on everything, but he has done a sensational job, like the perfect fit for Sandpoint and the crown jewel, in my opinion, War Memorial Field and the new turf, the whole facility, just unbelievable. So, Kim, you really deserve this. Great retirement, and you and Gina will have a great time being grandparents, which is the single best thing. Anyway, I was talking about Sandpoint Parks and Schweitzer. Their Twilight Ski Program is going on 3 to 7 p.m. You buy your tickets online only. For more information, go to Schweitzer.com. This weekend, it's the annual Banff Mountain Film Fest. It is one of the largest and most prestigious mountain festivals in the world, the Banff Center Mountain Film Fest. World Tour is hitting the road. It stops at the Panada Theater, also in about 550 other communities in more than 40 countries across the globe. The Banff World Tour celebrates amazing achievements in outdoor storytelling and filmmaking. Showtimes are 7 o'clock Friday and Saturday, and 6 o'clock this Sunday. And a little pro tip on the Banff Mountain Film Fest at the Panada this weekend: they always sell out. So right now, don't hesitate. Don't think, well, maybe I'll decide tomorrow if I'm going. No, go right now to panada.org, panada.org, and buy your tickets. You will not regret it. If you enjoy dancing, well, this Saturday, USA Dance is hosting a dance at the Pondere Event Center behind Sandpoint Furniture. 7 to 8 p.m. is a nightclub two-step lesson taught by a professional instructor. And from 8 to 10, there'll be general dancing, refreshments, door prizes, and fun. For singles, couples, and all levels of dancers are welcome. For more information, call 208. That's 208-699-0421, 699-0421. And Winery, Pondere Winery Music Saturday night, Chris Paradis from 5 until 8, an impressive instrumentalist and vocalist who elevates his songs with the banjo, mandolin, and bass. Go to powine.com for more information. For stick around here for more information on waste management and how they're dealing with the winter weather we're having. Also, we'll be talking to Jimmy Matlows about his Idaho Film Company. In our final segment, we will welcome back in Wes Chapman from Chapman Springs Ranch. So stick around.
95.3 KPND, Spokane's independent rock station, presents Dinosaur Jr. I feel Dinosaur Jr., Monday, February 7th at the Knitting Factory Concert House in Spokane. I ain't telling you a secret. I ain't telling you goodbye. Dinosaur Jr. Get tickets online at Ticketmaster.com or KnittingFactory.com. It's the last thing on my mind. Still you won't let things unwind. Dinosaur Jr. with guest Pink Mountain Tops, Monday, February 7th at the Knitting Factory Concert House in Spokane. Produced by Knitting Factory Entertainment.
Are you dreaming of a vacation or staycation? Why not do some good while planning your next getaway by bidding on a live package at the Bonner General Health Foundation's 14th annual Virtual Heart Ball on February 12th. From luxury glamping in Moab to tearing up Honky Tonk Row in Nashville, our live auction has something for everyone. Bidding starts online on February 1st. Join us for the virtual event benefiting time-sensitive emergency imaging. Visit bonnergeneral.org or the BGH Facebook event page for more details.
Hey, Don Thomas here for Selkirk Glass and Cabinets, wanting to talk to you today about Milgard windows and to introduce you to their Ultra series. The Ultra line features durable, beautiful fiberglass, tough against the elements with upscale contemporary styling. Milgard has been a trusted name in the industry for over 50 years, so it's no wonder their windows are backed by the best warranty in the business. We're talking about a full lifetime warranty for every properly installed window and door for as long as you own your home, including parts and labor. Milgard Ultra Series also comes standard with glass breakage coverage, unheard of in the industry. Fiberglass won't crack, peel, warp, split, pit, or corrode, and you can choose from 7 standard exterior colors. This is what one of our customers had to say about their new Ultra Series windows. We love the look of these windows because we were able to select a frame coating color that matches our home's color scheme. Interested in hearing more about Milgard's Ultra Series? Come on in and see them on display at Selkirk Glass and Cabin. That's the place to go.
Cancer screening can save your life. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/getscreen. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
The Idaho Vandalmen are back home for two Big Sky Conference basketball games this week. Thursday, the Vandals take on the Northern Colorado Bears at 6. Then Saturday, it's a 2 p.m. tip-off against the Sacramento State Hornets. Get your tickets at govandals.com or the arena box office.
97.1 FM and 1450 AM, 1400 AM, North Idaho's radio.
All right, we are back and we are being joined on the phone right now from Waste Management over in the Seattle area. Carissa Jones is with us, and Carissa is the Waste Management Manager for Recycling Education for the entire Pacific Northwest. And here in the inland Pacific Northwest, of course, we have had a winter so far, gotten a lot of snow. And Carissa, tell us, what has that meant to our local service here with waste management, with garbage and recycling?
Yeah, well, first, thanks so much, Bob, for giving us the chance to be on today and say hi to the Sandpoint community. WM's been servicing that area for 30 years, and we have a couple dozen drivers working there who live in that area, and so we definitely appreciate your time. And yes, with the weather, as a lot of folks know, we've certainly seen icy roads, unsafe conditions, which has led to, sometimes where drivers weren't able to service areas, and that's led to some delays. And, this is actually the first day that a lot of us here at WM can remember where it's actually been so bad that we haven't been able to provide service in Sandpoint.
Yeah, I noticed that. I moved into town a few years, 4 or 5 years ago, and I noticed that on Pine Street, people who get it, my garbage on Ruth gets picked up on Tuesdays, and it was right on schedule, but then we got dumped on that Wednesday night, and I noticed the people who got it on Pine Street after me, like on Friday, I think they're scheduled, didn't get picked up at all, and that was the first time I'd ever thought about that. It's like, I'd never seen Waste Management not be able to get there, and was that an all-time first?
I don't know about all time, but definitely, we have some team members here at WM who've been doing this work for a while, and nobody can remember a time that it's been like this. It's been a crazy year for sure.
Yeah, and we're getting a little bit of that interference again, so whatever you did a few minutes ago, do it again. But Carissa, tell us, how are the teams doing now? And then if you miss a whole day, how do you get caught up?
Yeah, so, as you know, with the snow, it's definitely taken a while to catch up. And so that's because at first it wasn't safe to operate the trucks at all. And then even when we had them back up and running, we had to make sure to go slow and be cautious. But right now, fortunately, we do have plans to be caught up by the end of the week.
And how do you do that? How do the logistics of that? How you come in on a Saturday and pick up, or do you just make 10-hour days, or what's the game plan?
Yeah. So when there's a snow event, we put together customized recovery plans. So the first thing we're thinking about is safety. Mm-hmm. That's our core value, and the first top thing that we're thinking about is how can we make sure to keep the community safe. And so we want to, also get that information out to customers as soon as possible. If road conditions require that we do have to postpone service, the best place to find out that information of, is it going to be next week? Is it going to be Saturday? Is to check our website. And that's wmnorthwest.com.
Okay.
It's the top resource. You can go there and just click on a map of your area, and that's going to have those service updates for you. And then, we also really want to make sure that we are minimizing these disruptions as much as possible, right? So that means that we are collecting extras at no charge. And then, through that, getting back to that regular service collection as soon as we can.
Yeah, that answered my next question. How did you know? So now you have two weeks worth of garbage. Do you pick it all up? So you answered that. Yes, you will do that at no extra charge. So that's good there. So when we get a snowstorm like we did a week or so ago, do you get inundated with phone calls? And what's the most common concern that people have?
Yeah, I would say, the most common question is just why. Why is my garbage not being collected? Why is my recycling not being collected? And there's a lot of things that definitely go into making that decision. You know, like I said, safety is our top priority. And so every time there's a weather event, we actually have staff that are monitoring the road conditions to make the call on whether or not it's safe to send our drivers out. Mm-hmm. And we're considering not only the condition of residential streets, you know, the street that you might see in front of your house, but also the surrounding areas that the trucks need to go through. Because, you know, they might have to go to a transfer station or through another part of town that could have icy hills, for example. We're thinking about the weight and the size of the trucks, which can be over 50,000 pounds. So it's very different than just, you know, driving your car to the grocery store, for example. And then, of course, our trucks are really, they have that stop and go nature of mm-hmm. how we're servicing homes, which is not great when you're dealing with the snow and ice. So there's, you know, just a lot of considerations where you might look out your window and think, oh, well, my roads are fine. Why didn't my recycling cart get picked up? But 4 hours ago when the truck was there, you know, maybe the roads weren't great then. And by now the truck could be 100 miles away on the route. So just lots of considerations, and conditions can really change hour by hour.
Yeah, and people around here should be used to the fact that, you know, when there's school closures because of the buses can't safely do their routes, where, you, again, like you said, if you're in town and you're near City Hall and you're near the school, saying, well, the roads look fine to me, but in the, just the very outlying areas, they might be horrendous conditions, and the trucks yeah. just in the buses just can't get through. So pretty much the same thing is happening there. So, you know, around here a lot when we get, you know, 13 inches of snow in 24 hours and the plows do come through, then they create these tremendous berms in front of people's driveways, in front of their houses. Right. And I noticed today driving into the station that a lot of people have put their cans and their recycling cans on top of the berm. I'm just wondering, are the waste management trucks able to still automatically pick those up now that they're 3 or 4 feet up in the air?
So we definitely want to make sure that the truck, that the containers are, you know, at ground level, you know, finding a safe spot. Maybe that's a little bit different than where you would normally put it. But yeah, we definitely want to see those, you know, at ground level. And that's a really good point of, you know, when we are at a point where we can set out our carts, how should that material be handled when we have all those extras? And it varies a little bit by the material. So if you have extra garbage, you want to make sure that's tied up in a plastic bag, and mm-hmm. that can either go next to the cart, or if you happen to have an extra, you know, a personal can, you can put them in there. We'll pick those up. And then if you have extra recycling, you actually don't want to put your recyclables in plastic bags, because then they're not able to get mm-hmm. sorted at a recycling center. So when you're putting out your recyclables, you'll just want to put those either in a cardboard box or in a paper bag.
Very, very good point, because you want to otherwise keep it loose in your recyclable for ease of the recycling. Speaking of recycling, I'm a single person now. My kids are all grown and gone, so I just have the little regular garbage can and the regular size mm-hmm. recycling can. Recycling gets picked up every 2 weeks, the regular garbage once a week, whereas in my particular situation, it's just the opposite. My recycling fills up faster than the trash fills up. Is there a theory behind the recycling just going every 2 weeks as opposed to every week?
You know, that's a good question. It does vary by city. Generally, there tends to be a lot, you know, more organic material items that'll rot in garbage. And so that's why I like to make sure to often pick those up every week. But if you do have extra recyclables that don't fit in your container, check your recycling guide, check WMNorthwest.com, and you can see, you know, about how you can go about setting out extras for that, even on a normal week.
Oh, very good point. Will people see, again, like in the Sandpoint area when we got so much snow and they didn't get their garbage picked up, will they expect a credit on their bill, or how do you guys handle that?
Yeah, also a good question. So no credit on your bill, because during a weather incident, the services are actually not canceled, but really they're postponed, mm-hmm. right? So meaning that material still does get collected, but it's in the form of taking out extras that I described. And so as much as we don't like to have to postpone service, we do still end up collecting that material, which incurs costs related to processing and managing it. And so, interesting enough, the weather interruptions are actually more costly than providing the regular routine services due to things like, you know, operational inefficiencies and driver overtime.
Yeah, and I would imagine if the trucks are filling up with, say, recyclables twice as fast as they normally would have that particular week, that causes other problems. It sounds like a major headache when we have these major storms around here. How do you, if you go to WMNorthwest.com to find out information on when your service is going to restore, will it tell you, like, you know, if you're normally a Thursday, it'll say that we'll get it by Monday, or how does that information passed along?
Yep. So it's going to go on there and it's going to be area specific and it'll tell you information like whether it's going to be, you know, normally it's going to be picked up on your following service day. And so that will likely vary person to person, whether their service day is a Tuesday or a Wednesday. That website will have all that information.
Very good. We're talking to Carissa Jones with Waste Management about a situation of something that a lot of people hadn't thought about till we got so much snow how about our garbage and recycling service? And I know it's a tough situation for you guys, and you do your very best to continue with that service. Is there anything else that you would like to pass along?
Nothing on my end, but definitely appreciate the time to be on and just kind of say hi to the community, and just thank you again so much, Bob.
No problem. And once again, that website is WM, stands for Waste Management, WMNorthwest.com. I'm on it right now. It's very informative. You could have a personal virtual assistant chat box to go to and things like that. So that should be your quickest way to get your answers to your questions, as opposed to calling your local office, who are going to be pretty swamped. Carissa, thanks for joining us today. It's great to meet you, and we'll do it again sometime.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. We are going to take a break, and we will continue with North Idaho Thursday right after this. All right, we are back, and we are joined also via the phone today. Jimmy Matlows is with us. He is with the Idaho Film Company and has a feature film coming to Sandpoint's Panada Theater. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But, Jimmy, how are you?
I'm doing great. And it's a good start to 2022. So happy New Year.
Yeah, happy New Year. It's great to have you here. It's great to have you. You were not in Sandpoint at the moment, but it's great to have you in town and doing your film thing. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and what you're doing now that you live in Sandpoint.
Ooh, that's a long story. Let's see. Got started in the film industry in 1989. I've had an amazing journey of ups and downs, but mostly ups. Incredible experiences traveling the world, working on everything from IMAX films to feature films, commercials, documentaries, industrials, and whatever else people are willing to pay me to show up and do that I have an interest in.
That's great. And how did you get into the film industry? I mean, did you take this in college, or has that just been a hobby, or how did it all come about?
Well, back in the day, back in the 80s and 90s, where we're from, is that the only way to learn this stuff was to go to film school for it. Now you can turn on YouTube, and I've seen some amazing filmmakers come out of that world. So for me, yeah, it was a communication college. I learned, I learned radio, TV, film production, video production, audio production. I actually started in audio originally, in music. Mm-hmm. And then segued into filmmaking because I wasn't a musician, and just being an audio engineer wasn't really my path.
Gotcha. And so all of this sort of morphed into the Idaho Film Company, and you ended up in Sandpoint, and you have a feature film coming to the Panada Theater on February the 5th as a fundraiser for the Panada. Tell us about the making of the film, what it's all about, and why we should all go see it.
Well, if we go back to how the Idaho Film Company came about, yeah. It was my desire to make films of my own. I always thought I would be hired to do that by other people, but then the reality set in that I guess I have to do this myself. In 2019, I was hired as the cinematographer to shoot the film Fear, which we are screening at the Benedict on the 5th of February. I'm very, very good friends with the director, both directors, Jeff and Jason, the producers, Blair and Lucas, really good friends with these guys. And because of the pandemic, it delayed the release of the film, and then it was, well, I guess we're just going to release this to streaming. In the meantime, I got involved with the Panada, and I understood and started to learn more about how the Panada works, and that it's a nonprofit, it's a community-sponsored facility. So I thought, how cool would it be if we could donate this film and screen it at the Panada?
That is totally cool. So fundraiser for the Panada. Of course, Panada took some time off and came back a month or so ago and has been doing a live theater and like movies like this. I know the Shook Twins played their annual Thanksgiving show. It was the first live music in quite a while. So it's great to have the Panada back and people just starving for to go out and be entertained. And tell us, are they going to be entertained by your film?
I'd like to think so. I mean, for those people who saw A Quiet Place or like that sort of a film, without monsters, we couldn't afford monsters. we didn't have a $20 million budget. But yeah, I think it's entertaining. I think at the heart of it, I always found this underlying story behind it about two parents saving their kids from ruin. I think we can all relate to that side of it. And it is R-rated. It does have a little bit of language and a little bit of violence, just as a warning there.
And it's called FEAR, and F-E-A-R stands for Forget Everything and Run. And again, it screens at the Panada on Saturday, February the 5th. And just to give you an idea, it's an action thriller that follows a young family as they struggle to survive the harsh environment of a Pacific Northwest winter. We can all relate to that this year. During a deadly pandemic, which is something everybody can relate to as well. And as besides the pandemic and the winter, there's a threat of zombies and bandits who threaten their lives and steal their supplies. And with time running out, they form an unlikely alliance with the marauders to survive the apocalypse. That's a lot.
That is a lot, yeah. You have to kind of fill in a lot of gaps there, but not too dissimilar from what a lot of us were dealing with the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, in 2019, Jason wrote it, and I believe 2019, he's the co-director and writer. So a little bit of a future teller there. And of course,
yeah,
this is a hyperbolic version of everything we've experienced. But I think it's entertaining. I think it's people can connect to it on different levels.
So this is before the pandemic that we're all experiencing and have been for the last 2 years. And he was already writing this script about a pandemic?
Yes, he was. So apparently he had his finger on the pulse of something.
Yeah. That is nuts. So we talked about it being in the Pacific Northwest. Where is it filmed? Are we going to recognize any of these scenes?
Unfortunately, no. We did shoot it in north of Los Angeles in California. So it's about, 2 hours with traffic north of Los Angeles. On the very first day of filming, we had a blizzard, which I welcomed with open arms because you can't buy that kind of value.
Yeah.
And you can't predict it. So the reality is that the opening part of the show set the tone for the entire filming of the film and gave us this can-do attitude where if we can survive a blizzard on the first day with a bunch of people who are normally in L.A. where it's sunny and warm, we can do anything.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, that's something that a huge, multi-billion dollar production company can make a blizzard, but it just happened to happen for you guys. That's like it was meant to be. And speaking of multi-billion dollars, how do you fund a project like this? It can't be inexpensive to make a film like this.
Well, that's one of the trivia questions I'm going to throw out there to the crowd, see if anyone can guess roughly what we made it for. It was all private equity, which is how I plan on running the Idaho Film Company initially, is finding private investors who maybe want to get involved in filmmaking and want the bragging rights and hopefully a return within a few years after that financially. But this is all self-financed. And nowadays, the access to filmmaking equipment is a lot more easy to get a hold of. It's a lot easier to find people who are skilled in the craft. And I think with the right leadership, you can find some really ambitious people that will show up every day, work hard, and make great films.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We're talking to Jimmy Matlos. He's put together a film. It's called Fear, Forget Everything and Run. It screens exclusively at the Panada Theater on February the 5th at 7 p.m. And you're going to be on hand for a little Q&A session?
Yeah, that is the goal of everything, unless, you know, I get a call from Steven Spielberg and he wants me that day. Hasn't happened yet, but, you know, I'm still young. But, yeah, that's my plan, is to be there, chat with the crowd, meet people, talk to people, everyone who's interested in how we made the film, to people that may want to know more about the Idaho Film Company and what we stand for and what we're hoping to do in Idaho, and that realistically bring filmmaking there, but which that equates to bringing jobs and money into the environment.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to learn more about the Idaho Film Company, you just go to their website. It's simple enough to remember, theidahofilmcompany.com. I'm looking at it right now, a very well done website, a lot of information there, and you can find out more. If you want to learn more about this feature film coming to the Panada Theater as a fundraiser for the Panada on February 5th, you can anytime go to panada.org, panada.org. I think you probably can get advanced tickets and learn more about everything going on there. Jimmy, I really appreciate you taking the time to join us today and for donating the funds that you raise at this screening to the Panada, our local nonprofit. After this, what's next for you? What project do you have on the horizon?
Let's see. Right now I'm working on Better Call Saul, just heading down to New Mexico for a day. And then the big thing is raising awareness and raising equity for the feature films that we plan on making. I've got an invention in the mix. I've got a TV pilot that I'm working on with a friend of mine that incorporates Asian culture and soul music. I got a lot of irons in the fire.
Yeah. Better Call Saul. That's a great program. Mm-hmm. Our engineer is just shaking his head going, yeah, it is. It's a great program. Jimmy Matlos, thanks for joining us. We are going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to switch gears. Once again, we'll talk about ski-joring. It's a sport that includes horses, skis, and cowboys. It's great. Stick around.
It's calving season. Are you ready? North 40 Outfitters has the calving supplies you need to raise a healthy herd. From ear tags and wire panels to Colostrix and Vitalix, start your calves out right so that they may have a healthy future. The future of your herd depends on it. Stop in and shop at North 40 Outfitters or buy online and pick up in store at north40.com. North 40 Outfitters, outfitting work and play.
Welcome back to the Raptors Weather Center, brought to you by Triple Play. I'm Stan, your official weather dino, and here's today's forecast. It's going to be chilly and possibly quite cold. Have a great day out there!
A little vague?
Well, I mean, it's winter in the PNW. No need to overthink it. And besides, my point is that cold temps make it a great time for warm indoor fun at Triple Play.
Very true. Our home, the fabulous Raptor Reef Indoor Water Park, is always 86 degrees. But an accurate weather forecast really requires a meteorologist.
Oh, I eat plenty of meat.
No, Stan.
Joking!
The Raptors are brought to you by Triple Play, where you can bowl, play laser tag, climb a ropes course, and splash around in Raptor Reef Indoor Water Park. Plus, it's all attached to a cozy hotel. Visit 3play.com.
It's never winter in our water park.
Or always summer.
Hey, those are the same thing.
Looking for a job? Filing for unemployment benefits? Need workforce training? Your Idaho Department of Labor makes it easy for you to get the help you need. We now have more places than ever before for you to get face-to-face help from an Idaho Department of Labor professional. Visit us on our website at labor.idaho.gov or in one of the many new communities offering office hours. That's labor.idaho.gov or call us at 208-457-8789. The Idaho Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer.
KSPT, KBFI, North Idaho's Radio.
All right. We are back, our final segment for today here on North Idaho Thursday, NorthIdahoRadio.com. Wes Chapman is my guest from Chapman Springs Ranch. And Wes, welcome back to the show. If people who were listening last week, you got stuck with a jackknife truck in front of you on
the road. We had ice road trucking going on up here in North Idaho. It's a little crazy.
Yeah, it's been a crazy. So it's great that you could take the time to join us this week. Before we talk about the ski touring event itself, tell us about your ranch. It's a 110-year-old working ranch. You are not 110 years old, so who's been running it all these years?
Yeah, so we're actually now 112 years. Oh, okay. So this year. So it's got a crazy story. It goes all the way back to the Ruins and the Whites, which is kind of the families that established the Clark Fork area. And then it's been in, so we are the fourth documented owners, I believe. I'm sure there were others before we did those kinds of, deed documents. Yeah. Byron and Myra Lewis, who actually still live across the street from the ranch, mm-hmm. were the ones that set up the guest ranch aspect of it. And so we just kind of took that over and increased it and modernized it a little bit. And so now we're a full functioning, I don't want to say dude ranch, because we're not, we're more of an a la carte experience. We have people who come out and do retreats, to people who have weddings. Yes, if you want to come have the dude experience and work with cows and horses and all that kind of stuff, you can. So it's just an amazing property. I think Clark Fork is a hidden, well, actually, no, Clark Fork's horrible. No one should know about it. Yeah, but no, it's just, it's a beautiful area, great topography, and we love it out there.
Yeah, it is. And if you're not familiar with Chapman Springs Ranch, it's chapmanspringsranch.com. And, you have cabins that are for rent and stuff. So if you have people coming from out of town, it's a great North Idaho Western experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's my wife's goal was to make the cabins nice and comfortable. So they are, everything's brand new, nice, great. But then to give an authentic experience, we actually handmade a lot of our fencing, just to kind of keep everything back to traditional Western style. And it's even simpler. It's just chapmansprings.com.
So gotcha.
I think ranch takes you the same way, but Chapman Springs, even easier to type in and learn all about us. So great for family reunions or events or anything like that.
Still a working ranch?
Yeah, we are. We're raising Angus. We're doing our own horse breeding. We now have 5 babies, pretty special crossbreed that we've been working on with Percheron quarter horse. We're out there doing it all. We've got alpacas, goats, we've got everything. So it's a fun experience.
Speaking of websites, there's another one, chapmanskijoring.com, just dedicated to this event.
Just to the ski joring event, yeah.
Tell us, this is your first annual. Of course, people around here will remember ski joring happening at the Bonner County Fairgrounds.
I think 2013 years. Or 14 was the last time they did it out there. I love ski joring. I just think it's amazing. It's a really fun sport. And what I love about it is you can be first time and still have a good experience, or you can be, a circuit runner, somebody who goes to every one of the Ski Joring USA events. And compete. And
so you're going to have both beginners, intermediate, and professionals?
Pro. Yeah, so we have what's called beginner sport, and they call it open. We're calling it pro. But 3 different levels, and we actually have 2.5 courses. So the pro course is its own course that no one else will run on except for the pro, and then the beginner kind of has their own section of a course, and then same with the intermediate or sport. So...
And if people are wondering, what is a pro ski jour? Why do they do this? What do they win? Tell us about some of the prizes you're putting
out. So that was one of the things that when I've gone to ski jouring events, like, I get it. It's not the most popular sport, Western sport in the world. So prizes were a little bit like, hey, you're just there for the fun. But I wanted to definitely have some cool prizes. So in our pro classification, if you won first prize, we're actually giving away a horse.
A horse.
Yeah, it's a papered, amazing horse. He's got incredible pedigree. Comes out of the Driftwood line, for any of those that know that. And then we're giving away a custom saddle for the first place ride in the sport, so the intermediate, and then the beginners, it's a custom hat and spurs, and then second place, and then we have cash, and we have ski packages for the skiers and snowboarders. We've got a $10,000 purse right now that's being distributed to those, to those nine winners. So it's and that keeps getting added to every single day. So we're doing it a little bit different. We want it to be fun and exciting, but we also want you to, you know, win some money and win some cool prizes. We've got more prizes than I can probably list on your show, from Bluetooth speakers to, you know, dusters to all kinds of stuff that are going to be given. And also for those attending, we're going to be doing a raffle.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we're trying to raise some money for some local charities here in Sandpoint. And so we've got a lot of downtown businesses that have donated everything from, I think Starbucks has donated a couple of like gift baskets full of coffees and, you know, mugs and all that, to, we have gas gift certificates from Arnie's gas station. So, you know, $5 by a raffle ticket.
Is Arnie competing?
Arnie is competing.
All right.
He is. He's actually looking at bringing a couple horses. So Arnie's. So that's going to be, and that's what this is all about.
My neighbor all those years.
Yeah. All right, nice. Yeah, that's what this is all about. It's going to be fun. You know, there's crashes and there's jumps, you know. So, and some of these horses will be going over 40 miles an hour, which means the skiers are going to be going 50 to 60 miles an hour.
Okay, this is the part of the interview where you have to tell people there's crashes and there's jumps and they're going 40 miles an hour. What exactly is ski joring? How does it work?
Yeah, so if you're not familiar with it, basically you tie a rope to your saddle. This is like really amateur, but you tie a rope to a saddle and a skier holds on, or a snowboarder holds on to said rope, and horse runs as fast as it can. And then the skier has different obstacles. They have to go over jumps. They have to grab rings. So does the horse rider. Now, if you're a beginner, all you need to do is hold onto the rope and get through the course. If if you're in the intermediate or sport, you're going to have some rings and some jumps. If you're in the pro, you're going to have rings, jumps, and also gates, which means the skier has to go, you know, left at a specific point, right at a specific point. So it isn't just about how fast can my horse go. There's a lot of horsemanship skills, excuse me, that are required. You know, you're going to use your inside leg, your outside leg, your left rein, your right rein. You know, you're going to do this with the horse, all that stuff. And then for the skier, it's, okay, how tight am I up on the rope? Because the tighter you are on the rope, the faster you're going to go. If you're going 40 miles an hour over a 6-foot jump, that's probably a bad idea. You know, so you're going to want to, so there's a lot of technique involved in it. And those of that have done it, you get it. Once you've done it once or twice, though, it's pretty easy to pick up. My son started skiing at Schweitzer the year before the pandemic, so in 2019, and then didn't ski in 2020, obviously, from everything that was going on, and literally grabbed his skis and clipped them on and got behind a horse, and he did the pro course. So, I mean, you gotta have a little bit of, you know, no fear, but it's a lot of fun.
It sounds amazing. It's a great spectator sport.
Oh, amazing spectator.
Are there still tickets available?
There are a few left. I just checked right before we got on here because I figured you'd want to know that. And every time I refresh my screen, there's people picking them up. So get them, because we're kind of against a couple of things. Space, obviously, and it is our first year, so we're going to be smart about how many people we're letting in. But as far as competitors, it's a fixed number. I can't add more because we only have one day to do it.
Well, we cut off those ads a week or so ago.
Yeah. So there's a few spots left for competitors. But yeah, as far as if you want to come and watch, you definitely get your tickets. And we are asking everyone to pre-register. It's just going to make things a lot smoother at the gate.
Absolutely. It is chapmanskijoring.com. Bring your own seating, I believe.
Yeah, VIP is totally sold out. So bring your own chairs, like bring a folding chair, or there's so much snow, like you could probably bring like a snow shovel and make yourself a seat. Like, so,
or an igloo. You
know, there's a bunch to do there.
And there's food truck available. And
food trucks, some vendors will be out there. It's going to be a good time. And we also have a concert, Devin Wade, for those that are local. Devin's going to be...
Everybody knows Devin.
Yeah. So Devin Wade is going to be performing. And then we have a fireworks show, which I was just told is going to last like over 30 minutes. So we're pretty excited about that.
And for anybody who doesn't know where you are, how do you describe, how do you get to the ranch?
Super easy. We're right off, we're right on River Road out in Clark Fork. So you're literally, you know, this sounds like local directions here, but you're going to turn right at the Cinex if you're coming from Sandpoint, and you're going to turn left at the Cinex if you're coming from Montana. You're going to follow that road and see the big Chapman Springs gates. It's really hard to miss on your left-hand side on River Road.
And yeah, Chapman Springs, and it's ChapmanSkiJoring.com. You can buy tickets right there if you want to
get
go.
Get all the information. Yep.
Great family fun. It'll be a wonderful day. It is Saturday, January 29th.
29th, yep.
At what time?
We are kicking off everything at 9 a.m., asking everyone to be there around 8. So opening ceremonies will be at 9 a.m.
And then how long do you expect it? Is it an all-dayer?
It'll be all day. The racers will go till about 3, 3:30. Then we'll have the awards, then the concert, then the fireworks show. So, you know, you'll be home by 7:38.
Yeah, that's great. Sounds like a lot of fun. Wes Chapman, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I'm glad it worked out, and let's make this an annual thing.
Let's do it.
All right. That's going to be it for today, and I'll be back in here next week. Till then, I'm Bob Witte, and we'll see you later.
Palmer's Ferry, 1400 KSPT Sandpoint, and online at NorthIdahoRadio.com.